It is certainly good to look out in the audience and see all of you here this morning. We appreciate your presence with us, especially those that are visiting with us. We're thankful that you're among us, and we want to invite you back any opportunity you may have to come be with us at Market Street. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to take them and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be looking here together as we begin our lesson together this morning. Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, giving him some instructions about the kind of preaching he needs to be doing, the kind of things that he's going to face as he is serving God. And he says in verse 6, "Put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and thou shalt be a minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Oftentimes in serving the Lord, we find ourselves thinking about the negative side of things. We think about there are things that, as a Christian, when we obey the gospel, we think, well, there are just some things that I can't do. There are some things I shouldn't do, and I can't do this, I can't do that. And that's right. There are some things that, as a Christian, we ought not engage in, and there are certain behaviors and things that ought to be a part of our lives and there's things that ought not be a part of our lives. But sometimes we think about these things, and we think about them in the negative side, but I think about the text here. When Paul writes here, he says, for godliness, being a person who is like God, is profitable. Godliness is profitable. We don't think about that very often. We don't think about the fact of godliness being profitable. I think about really how profitable it is to be godly. And he says that this profitableness of this godliness is not just because of the life that's coming, the life hereafter. But he says this godliness is profitable in the life which now is. And I think that's probably the thing that a lot of people, and I'm afraid way too many people that are members of the body of Christ, fail to see. They fail to see how godliness is profitable in the life which now is. This morning I want us to think about godliness is profitable. And I want us to think about the fact that God wants us to live a life that is godly, and he wants us to live a life that not only is godly, but is a life that is happy and is blessed. If you'll take your Bibles and turn over with me to the book of Matthew, I'm turning to Matthew chapter 5, and I want us to just quickly notice something here. When Jesus just begins his ministry, quickly he does this Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew records, and we see he's kind of laying the groundwork of all the teaching he's going to do through the Sermon on the Mount, and he opens his mouth as he's gone into a mountain, and the disciples are before him. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that shall mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Yeah, I think, and I read these verses here, and quickly I'm struck with something. I'm struck with this idea that Jesus is saying, blessed, or your version, and depending on what version you've got, yours may say happy. Happy. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be happy. And when he gives us a life of godliness, he's given us a life of godliness that now is profitable. Profitable for happiness. a life that is a blessing to us. But oftentimes we don't want to see our lives that way. We don't want to see it in that kind of vein. And so we don't live our lives with the idea that this life that I now live is a life of happiness and profitableness. And sometimes you say, you read down through it and you say, yeah, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. You say, well, that's the kingdom of heaven that's to come. And you know, David, that's talking about what here is after, not the life. I think in the sense, those who are blessed in the poor in the spirit, those who manifest that attitude, really can understand the greatness of the kingdom of heaven now. They're not looking necessarily always to that heavenly home that we're oftentimes look at it. And we do talk about that, and that's true. We do look for that. But do you see the profitableness in seeing the kingdom of heaven now? To be among God's people and among people like we are gathered here this morning. To have the associations that we have in Christ. To experience the brotherly love that we have for one another. To encourage one another and to lift each other up. When I'm feeling down and I'm feeling like I just don't know what I'm going to, that somebody can come and somebody can speak a word of encouragement. Far too often what we look at is we don't look at that. And we don't see the profitableness of that. But it takes a person who's a humble spirit, who doesn't always have to have their way about things and can surrender their lives to Christ's will and to God's will, and that they can see that the greater picture out here is something that's greater than what I want. And when I can come to realization of that, then I can really understand the blessedness of being poor in spirit because of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. We keep going through this. I'm not going to preach the Sermon on the Mount. But you go through here. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's not talking about the life that's to come. I think that really talks about those who are in this life now, that they shall be comforted. How can we be comforted in the life? Because we know those who are the kingdom of heaven, those who are blessed are these people who are serving God, and are these people, are people who when they mourn, they shall find comfort from the God of all comfort. And we could just go through here and we could just see this time and time again. I'm turning now back to the 25th chapter of Matthew. And I'm looking at verse 34, where the judgment scene, where all the nations of the earth are gathered before Jesus, and he's depicting the judgment scene as he makes the judgments, and he's dividing the sheep from the goats. He's putting the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And verse 34 says, "And the king shall say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. Come, ye blessed of my Father." I remind you of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, where John, writing the Revelation, said, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Blessed are you. You lived your life here, you lived in the Lord, and you're blessed. You were blessed in this life, and you're going to be blessed in the life to come. But oftentimes what we do is all we want to see is we see the profitableness of God in this only when we see it from that side over there, and we say, that's where I'm going. And that's right. That's our focus. That's where we're going. That's where we want to be. But we need to see it now. We need to see the profitableness of godliness now. Our spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "For he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ." Yes, in the life to come, but in the life which now is. When I think about our blessedness as far as our serving the Lord, what is it that we might have that we can think about as things that we can enjoy because of being in Christ? Well, I think there's several things that we might enjoy. I think there's several things that we can. I'm turning now to the book of Ephesians. I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 1 now. And I think there's something said here that I think is something that we can enjoy. We can enjoy this right now as Christians. Notice what he says in verse 7. Speaking of Jesus Christ and the fact that we have received this great blessings that are in him, as he's just talked about in verse 3. He says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have the forgiveness of sins. You know, when I live in this life, which I now live, I live in this life knowing my sins have been forgiven. Why do I know that? Because this book tells me that. This book tells me if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John chapter 1. And so I order my life in the way that God wants me to do. I did that because I was because I believed and I heard the gospel and I confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I was buried with him in baptism. I was born again and I was brought into this new life. And I lived in this life not having to live with the idea that every step I must make is going to have to be perfect. Because if I fail, then that's it. I'm lost. No, but I live in this life knowing that when I fail, not that I'm striving to fail. No, I'm striving for the mark. I'm striving for that life hereafter. But when I miss the mark, as 1 John chapter 2 says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's there pleading for us. We have the forgiveness of sins through his blood. And so we live in this life and we live and we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us then from all unrighteousness. So what a great blessing that is. We also not only have that, but we do have the life of the hope of the life to come. I'm turning to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm looking at verse 5, where Paul, writing the church at Colossae, says, "For the hope which is laid up in for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before the world, before the word of the truth of the gospel, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." You know, we have a hope that there's something better. We have the forgiveness of sins. In living this life faithful to the Lord, we have a hope of something. Hope oftentimes is a word we don't quite use correctly. We talk about the word hope in a way that we might talk about a lot of things. Well, I hope it rains today. Well, I would like to see it rain. I desire the rain. I don't expect it to rain today. Not from what I can tell about the weather, the systems, storm systems and things. It just doesn't look like rain. So I can't say I'm hoping for rain today in a biblical sense because I don't hope for that. I desire it. But when I say hope in the biblical sense, I have two aspects of that word. And one is the idea of desiring it, wanting it. But it also is the idea of wanting it with the idea that there is an expectation that I'm going to have it. And so we don't hope for eternal life like we might hope for rain today because we may not say, I don't think it's going to rain today. Matter of fact, I think what I saw, if I saw the latest weather, it said zero chance today. They weren't giving you much hope at all. But I can say, if I die today, I hope to go to heaven because I desire to go there. And I'm living my life expecting to go there. And you think about how that makes this life different. Not just looking only to way out there, but as I'm living my life here now. And I'm striving to serve. You know, when somebody does me wrong, is it going to bother me? Well, yeah, it might bother me. But you know, really in the scheme of things, the big picture, let's get to the big picture of things. Really in the big picture, when things don't go like I want them to go, is it going to really disrupt my life? Not if I understand really what's at stake here. And that's heaven. And so when I'm living my life, yes, godliness is profitable now because of the hope that I have. I think about, not only that, but I think about the peace that we have. I'm looking at Philippians chapter 4. You're probably right there on maybe the same page in your Bible. In verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4, where Paul is writing, he's telling them to pray, to be make every request made known unto God. He says in verse 7, that the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, what a peace it is to be a godly person, to live a life in godliness. You know, there's a great peace and a great comfort that comes from that. You know, not only is there this peace, but this peace and comfort comes from the fact of who we are in fellowship with. I'm turning back to the 1 John chapter 1. And I'm looking at verse 3, where John is writing and he says, we have seen and we declare him to you. We've seen this Jesus. We've handled him. We've touched him. We've heard him. We've been very closely associated with him. But we declare him to you, verse 3 he says, that ye may also have the fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, we're in fellowship with God. We're in fellowship with God and we're in fellowship with Christ. Now, let's think about that for just a moment and think about what it is to be in fellowship with God. And I think we just run past that real quick and we don't think about that, what that really means. That means the God who is the creator of the ends of this earth, the one who spoke and things came to be, the man who knows everything about man, everything that knows everything that's in the mind of man. I'm in fellowship with him. And not only am I in fellowship with him, but I'm in fellowship with his son. Who's his son? His son is the one who came to this earth and took on flesh. He lived as a man, he suffered as a man, he walked as a man, he endured as a man everything we go through. He endured slights, he endured insults, he endured all those things. And I'm in company with him. I'm in fellowship with him when my life is lived in godliness. You know, that makes my life living in godliness now very profitable. When a person upsets me and does me wrong, I can get past that because I'm in fellowship with Jesus Christ. What did the Hebrew writer say about that? He said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Godliness is profitable now and the life that's to come. But oftentimes, we forget all about that. We're more concerned about our... I don't know what happened there. We forget all about those sacrifices. We forget all about what that means. Because we are thinking about self. I'm thinking about my self-worth. I'm thinking about what I want. But when I come to realize what sense of personal worth there is in being in Christ and what God thinks of me, then I'm going to tell you it's going to change me. It's going to change the way I view life. And then I'm going to see that, yes, godliness is profitable in the life that now is. Without the reality of the spiritual view of life, we will fail. We will fail as we strive to live in this life that we might receive the godliness and the life that is to come. And I believe that's the part we oftentimes miss. That if we're going to really have the benefit of the life that's to come, we've got to get the godliness and the life that now is.
We can't hold to the temporal things. We can't hold to the things of this life. The things of life are what they are. They're temporary. They're here for a day, and they're gone tomorrow. You give me wealth, you give me houses, you give me land, you give me things, and I won't tell you what is going to happen to them. They're going to fall apart. My father-in-law has got a pickup truck that his daughter wrecked going over a fire hydrant one night. And she was supposed to be leaving church and going straight home, and her brother talked her into going to Dairy Queen. And she made a corner too short and scraped the side of the truck, and he's diligently been putting that truck back together for 25 years. Start of the year we married, putting that truck back together. And I told him, well, I was out there looking at the truck, and he was talking about it, and I said, yeah. I said, you've worked on it so long? And I said, the work you've done on it was nearly deteriorating before you got finished with it. He talked about having to go back and redo some stuff. I said, I'm sure you did. It's been 25 years. That's what happens in time. Time, things go away. Things are worth nothing. That's what Jesus taught. What did he say in the Sermon on the Mount? Where are you supposed to lay up for yourselves treasures? Where? With things on the earth? No. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For what has man profited, he said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? God asks us to only give up that which will interfere with our godliness in this life to him. He doesn't expect us to give up everything in life. No, he gives us a lot of things in this life to enjoy. There are a lot of things that we can enjoy. We have our families, we have our friends, we have our association, and those things are good. But in this life, we cannot hold on to those things which will take us away from God. And if we understand the godliness of the life that now is, we will not allow those things to come between us and God. We cannot do that. Because you see, what we have to begin to realize is that really with this life that we live now, what we give up, we'll get far more than we'll ever give up. I'm turning to Mark chapter 10, and I'm looking at a passage right here as we close, where Peter says to Jesus, when it's talking about this rich man who had great possessions, and Jesus says it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they think, well, that's impossible. But he said, well, with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then Peter says to him, lo, we have left all to follow thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses, brethren, sisters, or father and mother or wife, or children, lands, for my sake and the gospel's, that he shall receive a hundredfold in the lot and the time, hundredfold now and this time, houses and brethren and sisters and houses and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And when he says this, he's not meaning that you're going to have great wealth. He's not teaching that. But he says, when you give your life to me, you're going to receive far more. And I think about that idea of how many people that I have in my family. My family only comprises four people, my immediate family. Then if you take my mother and my father, and you take that family, and then you take that family, and I can keep stretching that family out and include a lot of people. But when I think about my family of God, all the mothers, all the brethren, all the things that I have at my disposal, All the things I receive in this life that now is, it's far greater than my earthly family. Far more than my earthly family. But I have that now. Maybe that you're here this morning, you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ, and this morning would be a great time for you to decide, I'm going to do that. I'm going to begin my life of godliness right now. I'm going to live my life in godliness right now so that I can enjoy the blessings of that godly life and the life which is to come. If we can assist you in doing that this morning, if you'll come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, to be buried with him in baptism, to rise up then as a child of God, one who's walking with him each and every day, then we'll be glad to assist you in that. Or if you've done that and you've turned away, you haven't followed him as you should, and make those changes. And if you need to make changes in a public way and ask for prayers for the saints here, let us know how we can assist you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?